You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Bracket Magazine.
Welcome to episode 11 of MemoCast, entitled John Cena Sucks!
John Cena sucks!
And we just finished watching the WWE pay-per-view for the month, Battlegrounds, and it was interesting. We will get to that in a minute, but first let's talk about some big news. So Mike, why don't you talk about the other Mike?
So yeah, you guys are hearing the sultry sounds of our voices on our brand new microphone. Say what?
Yes, it was ordered on Thursday, and no, ordered Friday, received today, Sunday, when we were recording the episode, and did some testing with it, and it sounds a lot better than what we've been working with before, and I'm really into it, and I'm glad that we made the jump, and we also have some other news besides the new mic. Ideally, I'm going to try and do some work, but this episode should be the start of a brand new era wherein you'll be able to subscribe to the show via iTunes. We'll work on getting the back catalog of episodes up as the weeks go by, but the schedule for us is going to be quite busy in the next few weeks. But hopefully it shouldn't take too long, but this one will for sure be there before the end of this week, and then we should have, the same goes for Stitcher. This episode should be ideally uploaded on Stitcher before the end of the week as well.
Very nice.
I know, and a lot of stuff has happened. A lot. We're going to do a lot of wrestling talk, so we'll try to get more of the non-wrestling talk before the break. But I do, before we get into the news, want to say that we have a special guest later on in the show. We interviewed a Mr. Ivan Cosplay.
Ivan Promotions.
Ivan Cosplay, Ivan Promotion. Ivan Cosplay Promotion, Ivan Promotion.
Cosplay. Ivan Promotions, the creative guy behind Club Cosplay out here.
Clay.
We get a new microphone, you can just hear how shitty we are. That's what happens.
Yes.
So, yeah, we interviewed him. It was an interesting interview. It was maybe like 15 minutes or so?
It was almost 20.
Almost 20, yeah. So you guys will hear that after the break. But let's get into some news.
Yes. So first thing we're talking about is the whole Avengers Now initiative that Marvel is going through. And so they kind of shook up the big three, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. And so the first big one is that they announced that Thor would soon be replaced by a woman.
Yeah, Lady Thor.
Well, no. Jason Aaron said it's not Thorita, it's not Lady Thor, it's Thor, who just happens to be a woman. He was very specific on that.
Was he really? I kind of skipped around in the article and the interviews because I didn't want to know too much about what was going on.
Yeah. No, he said that. Some websites specifically use that quote to be like, if you don't want to read through the whole thing, here's some of the main points.
Okay.
And so he's like, so it's not Lady Thor, it's not Thorita, this is just Thor. And so that's a really big shakeup. Nerds obviously got mad because reasons.
Because nerds.
It's like, okay, Thor can be a frog, but can't be a woman.
Yeah.
I was like, do any of you remember Throg? Yeah. And then the other big one is Captain America recently became depowered, lost the Super Soldier Serum. And so obviously need a replacement. And they went with his longtime friend and partner, Sam Wilson, the Falcon.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool when I saw that. I saw him holding the shield, and I was like, that's great. I like that. That's a good idea.
Well, more importantly, is like nerds were angry, not as angry, partially because this is something I feel should have happened years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think as time goes on, especially within, you know, the realms of like comic books and television shows regarding special, you know, nerd icons, we're going to have to get used to the idea that they're going to change identities and not necessarily into people that we expected.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've been, what, replacing X-Men for years with different iterations and new members and stuff.
I think the big difference is that these are like essentially the three that built Marvel's foundation, you know,
as
far as the Avengers go. And so for them, these are like their iconic heroes. You know, you don't really see, like for them, this is their equivalent to a DC's trinity of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
This is true.
And so you don't really see too much change-up happen to either of the big three at either of the two companies.
Well, it's about time, though. It really needed to happen.
Yes, this is very true. In fact, I think the most that's ever happened is that Dick Grayson became Batman for a while, which was actually something that I thought was a great move, and it made sense. Mm-hmm. And I, to be honest, I felt that was a very, you know, good run of Batman. Mm-hmm. But you know, Bruce had to come back eventually for reasons. But yeah, so that's really cool to see. Other comic book related news. I'm actually gonna switch things up a little bit just to kind of stay comic-y.
Handle it.
Yes, so IDW just announced that there's going to be a TMNT, for those of you who are like, what? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters crossover. Mm-hmm. I forget how many issues, but it's supposed to take place, I believe, starting October. And it's written by the writer of the current Ghostbusters series, and then the editor of the current Ghostbusters series, who's also worked on Turtles.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, like, familiarity going on there.
I'm going to be very disappointed if at least one of the Turtles doesn't say Bustin' Makes You Feel Good,
yeah,
and then one of the Ghostbusters doesn't say, like, Cowabunga or something.
Yeah. Or Booyashaka. I'll set it for Booyashaka.
Yeah. Something like that.
But the cover that they teased was really cool because it had each of the Turtles paired with their Ghostbusters counterpart. So you saw Donnie next to Egon, mm-hmm, you know, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really cool. The artwork looks awesome, mm-hmm, and I am super excited. Okay. You know, I read the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. I'm a big Turtles fanatic. And, I mean, the Ghostbusters are the Ghostbusters. You know, they're both properties are celebrating 30th anniversaries.
That's right. 1984. I suddenly feel very old.
Yeah.
Because I remember there is footage, I think I've mentioned this before, of me as a child beating the crap out of my Nino's cousin saying, I love being a turtle.
Yeah. There probably is.
1980 something, so I feel suddenly very old and aged.
Mondo.
Someone sucked the super soldier serum out of you.
The years are the flying by.
It's like, damn you. All right, and so that's kind of what we want to talk about, comic book, like specifically comic books. Talk about SDCC in the third act of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap up this first one, we got some wrestling news.
Some wrestling.
So last week we recorded our episode, and then literally like the next day, all the big news dropped.
Yeah, we were like a day early, and a dollar too many.
Yes. So pretty much, CM Punk is officially just done with the WWE. He was moved to alumni status. He tweeted his farewell and said thank you to everyone. He finally addressed the situation that has been boiling over for 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what he's gonna do next, you know, as far as, like, long-term professional goals. But Chris Hardwick just announced that he's going to be at the San Diego Comic-Con Nerdist, like, taping.
He's done a lot of stuff for Nerdist, though, because he's been on Talking Dead.
Yeah.
He had like, CM Punk's, like, Grammar Slam Down thing for a while.
They were on Celebrity Bowling.
Yeah, so I think...
Well, him and Hardwick are pals.
Yeah, so I think he's going to find a nice... For the time being, he's going to find a nice home on Nerdist.
Yeah.
Until he just decides what he wants to do long term.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, realistically, I don't see him going to another promotion anytime soon. I feel like the years of wrestling, it's something that he loves,
mm-hmm,
but I feel like with anything that you love, you need to take a break.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is going to be him reconnecting with his nerdy side,
mm-hmm,
which is going to be really cool. Like, I want to see him make more appearances at conventions. I want to see him do more silly things. I want him to use his great skills for the mic,
mm-hmm,
which is going to be great to see him on the podcast.
Yeah, he's a great orator,
yeah,
actually.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah, dude. He's one of the best.
Yeah, so I think I'm not worried about him in the slightest.
Yeah. Okay, he'll find something somewhere. I mean, he obviously, I doubt he's going to go to the Hollywood route because he's never been a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what he does.
Yeah.
If anything, he'll start his own band or who knows. I'll see him at least once.
Yeah.
You know? But other wrestling news besides the Battleground pay-per-view. So Sting was just announced as being part of the DLC content for WWE 2K15. I believe it's a pre-order exclusive, which hopefully they change that, but knowing how the WWE operates, that might not change, and knowing how the WWE fan base is, they'll be dumb enough to subscribe anyway.
Do we just, like, alienate, like, half of the people listening to our podcast?
No. Because I subscribe to the network, because I'm dumb.
Because for only $9.99 a month, you can subscribe to this great value that is the WWE Network.
Full of tons and hours of original content and series and specials and behind-the-scenes look.
And that's only for $9.99 a month?
$9.99 a month. That's such a steal.
What a bargain!
Exactly. And you get every single pay-per-view, $9.99 a month. You get the backstage pass. You get NXT. And we've just turned this into a commercial. We could be the new JBL and Cole.
We really could. I mean, it was so ridiculous watching right now. It was absolutely nonsensical.
Dude, I felt bad for the Divas. I was like, let's just talk over their match and not announce anything that's going on.
I really, like, it was completely devoid of commentary. These two women are up there beating the crap out of each other. And they're like, hey, let's take a moment to talk about WWE Network. And it was like, guys, come on.
And to be honest, that was arguably one of the best matches for the pay-per-view.
It was, actually, because the few WWE pay-per-view events that I've seen, any Divas matches, it's kind of like, all right, everyone, go stretch your legs, go to the bathroom, I'm going to go get some more chips. Anyone else want a beer?
Yeah.
And this was actually, we were actually sitting there watching it. I actually put my phone down and was like, huh.
Well, you know, to be honest, like, I've always been a big fan of AJ, and especially Paige.
Yeah, and when Paige came out, you're like, this is my girl, and you're like hitting me and stuff. I'm like, okay, I get it.
You know, she's awesome. She just... I started watching NXT, and she kind of blew up on that scene there, and then when she came to WWE, which I did not know was coming, it all was amazing. The first day there, they made her the champion,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so she's done a great job of becoming this really cool heel, and she's on top of that, she's a fantastic wrestler. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't let her get her one of her big finishers, the modified Scorpion Crosslock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Save it for another pay-per-view.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? But so we're going to actually go a little bit more into the Battlegrounds discussion after this interview with Ivan. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to interview with Ivan in a musical break, and then we're going to come back, talk more about wrestling, and then we have a couple other topics not wrestling related, and, you know, it won't be all plugs for the WWE Network or a brand new mic.
That was only $9.99 a month.
But free $99 a month is the MemoCast. Tons of minutes and minutes of content.
Minutes of content that you get delivered straight to your computer or mobile device for free.
99.
Free.
The 99 is what makes it the great value.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are enjoying the MemoCast for free 99 a month, keep it right here. Bye, guys.
At times like this.
All right, we're back from the musical break, and here we have a special guest. We have the one of the main people behind Club Cosplay. We have Mr. Ivan.
Hello, everybody. How we doing? Club Cosplay in the house.
Yes. All right, so Ivan, really quick, what's your last name? Because I seem to have forgotten it.
Everyone refers to me as Ivan Promotions.
That works for me. Mr. Ivan Promotions here in the studio. No, all right, cool. So we're going to start this thing off really quickly with the first question, which is... let's give him an introduction. Let's tell him what Club Cosplay is.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, all right, so...
Club Cosplay has a lot of people asking a lot of questions. Like, what the fuck is this? Is this a club of people? Is this a nightclub? Is this a party? But what we are is we're the nerds nightclub. We're the anti-club. We're the anti-nightclub to where, you know what, you can come in with your fucking Star Wars shirt and be like, you know what, this is my home. I don't have a bunch of douchebags around me making me feel like I'm the one that doesn't fit in. Because this is my nerd nightclub. That's what it is. And it's based around cosplay. Obviously, we take care of the cosplay community more than anybody. We make sure that they have special access and special, you know, things going on for them and only them. But other than that, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
All right, cool. Well, so tell us, how did Club Cosplay come together?
Well, it was a brainchild of mine back in January. I've been a concert promoter for 10 years all around the Inland Empire doing, you know, punk shows, indie shows, rock shows, club shows, tribute shows, pretty much anything and everything. And I got this new venue, M15. They hired me on as their marketing director. And during that time, they're like, hey, we need to develop a nightclub. We need to get into it. And I'm like, I don't like reinventing the wheel, and I don't like trying to do it the same thing that everyone else likes to do. And I've been a huge fan and a huge collector for many years. You know, I collect X-Men figures and comic books and yada, yada, yada. And then I've been also watching, like, Heroes of Cosplay and paying attention to the comic book Comic-Con scene. And I'm just like, man, this is fucking cool. I mean, I love how this industry has changed into this new image that is, like, fun and exciting other than just, like, fat guys and sweat pants drooling over cars, you know? And so it's kind of given a better perspective of what my lifestyle is like other than, you know, your stereotypical style. And I'm like, man, this could be awesome. Why don't we do a club for nerds? Why don't we do a club that I would go to? A club that I would want to go to, because I don't go to the clubs in L.A. I don't go to those bullshit $7,000 for a bottle of fucking well vodka type clubs where you don't have big tits, you don't get in, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's not my thing. I mean, that's not where I go and spend my time. And so I'm like, all right, if I'm going to produce a club, I want to produce a club that I would want to go to. And so Club Cosplay was born, you know? We found that this was going to be a great market that doesn't really get paid attention to in the nightlife scene, really. And so we want to give them something that they've always wanted, yet never had access to, never felt important enough to be at. But guess what? If you come to my club looking like Jersey Shore, like you're going to one of those other clubs, you're not getting in. You don't have a fucking Star Wars shirt, or a Batman shirt, or an anime shirt. You're not getting into my club. I'm sorry. Unless you're cosplaying Jersey Shore, then you're fucking genius and we're going to run you to the front of the line.
All right. Okay, I like that. I like that response. Oh, so Club Cosplay has grown...
There is a tongue tie. I mean, it did take me a little while to learn to say it, but once you learn, it's there.
Yeah, no. So it is more than just Mr. Ivan Promotions. There are other people involved, like nerds like us and some of the more notable cosplayers in the scene. I want to know is, how did you get linked up with people like Bernie and Ivy Doomkitty and Liana Vamp and all those cool cats?
Well, actually, Liana was the first one we got involved. And Liana actually happened to be in my inner mix because she's a Temecula. She's from Temecula. I'm a big, big Temecula supporter, and that's where I run most of my shows, unless I'm up at M15. And she actually was the Bumblebee girl in this music video. My homies covered Blind Melon's No Rain.
Okay.
And they hired her to be the Bumblebee girl in the music video. And she actually, like, her brother works for my friend, so she's just kind of in the inner mix of my inner circle, you know? And so I approached her with the idea, and she loved it. She's like, fuck it, I'm in. Cool. And then when it came to Bernie, really, it was the community. The community told me who they wanted. And then I contacted Bernie, and Bernie took me through a two-hour interview to see if I was good enough to run my own idea with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very protective over his team, because that's what I did about Bernie, because me and him share the idea that we want to keep this pure. We're not trying to, you know, slap a cosplay sticker on a nightclub and reap the benefits of this trending scene. We want to keep it literally, we want to keep it pure, like the old school rave scene before all the drugs took over.
Yeah. You want to make it by nerds for nerds. Yeah.
Well, it is by nerds for nerds, but we just want to make sure all the non-nerds don't get in.
No non-nerds allowed.
Yeah, like, no non-nerds allowed. I mean, like I said, if you come up to the door and you don't look like you're a part of our community, unfortunately, we've been scapegoated and exiled from every other club. Well, guess what? This one's ours.
Okay.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about the origins of club cosplay and how you and the group, you know, centering around it came together. What is your guys' ultimate goal for club cosplay? I mean, how big do you guys want to take this?
Well, club cosplay is obviously going to develop organically, however it's going to take it. We all have our ideas and expectations and, you know, pipe dreams of, we're going to the moon! Club cosplay! On the fucking moon! Costumes, no gravity, all party. Let's do this.
That sounds amazing.
I'm down.
Dude, that sounds pretty epic, actually.
I think we need to make this happen.
Dude, we just signed up Virgin Atlantic as our premier sponsor, and we kick off the moon trip.
we could fund this on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Get what's his name, Sir Bronson, on the phone right now.
We can get that guy who did the potato salad.
Yeah, just be like, all right, we want to do this. We're going to the moon, and we're going to fund a cosplay club on the moon. Let's make it happen.
With potato salad. But yeah, okay, I feel that. So I know that you, I believe Bernie mentioned this slightly at the first event, saying that, like, wouldn't you guys like to see this, like, at Comic-Con or, like, at other, like, events? Like, is there a possibility of maybe, like, taking, like doing, like, on-the-road versions of club cosplay at, like, other conventions to like, help build support for it back at the home base?
You know, what the funny thing is, like, before we even launched our first one, we made such a presence and such a mark on the community. You know, before we even had the very first one, and we had actually a lot of cons approach us and basically be like, hey, would you like to host our after parties? And we didn't even have our first show yet. You know, we didn't even show everyone what we're all about. We just put out the branding and the promotional material and the concept, and just that alone drew in a lot of attention. So we feel that, you know, there is going to be a point. We don't know when. Obviously, we let people a lot of that stuff close to the chest. But we do feel that that could be a very good possibility.
I like that. You know, hopefully we see something like that happen in the near future, before the end of 2014.
You know, but the thing is like, I don't like rushing things, and we're still technically in development stage because we produced one. It fucking went off. Mm-hmm. It was epic. Everyone loved it. Probably one of the coolest things that any of these cosplayers have ever experienced, besides their big Comic-Con or something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, we want to make this package, we want to make club cosplay so impactful in such a giant representation of the community that we're technically still in development phase.
Okay.
I mean, we're still in the Inland Empire. And everyone who's down for the ride right now is definitely going to reap the benefits later.
Yeah. Well, okay, so still in the development phases. Let's talk about night number two coming up next month. Let's give the people some info. What can we talk about that you is going to happen at night number two?
Well, number two is the current thing that we're advertising or promoting that we didn't have at the first one. Because we're going to have a lot of the same people back. You know, obviously, Leanna, Bernie, and Songhammer are our forefront, and they're always going to be at every show. You know, because they're the club of club cosplay, you know. Because we do have an inner circle of homies and friends that are kind of like in it together, that thing. It is a club for cosplayers and nerds, but the people who run it are their own club, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so these people will always be there, you know. But we do have one thing that we've released, and I can't release anything else, but the one thing that I can tell you is, I don't know if you saw the Dweebcast video from the first Club Cosplay. Did you guys see that?
The what video?
The video Dweebcast put out.
I don't think that I did. I saw that you guys posted it, but I didn't have a chance to watch it yet.
Oh, man, then you guys are fucking missing out on the entire thing. Tells you everything. Explains everything to a T. But anyway, so Dweebcast came out and did this amazing video on the grand opening. If you don't see it, you're stupid. Then go away. We don't care because you're not interested. You're fucking interested. Go see this video because it'll tell you everything you need to know. But anyway, so the one thing that we're doing for the next one is we're going to do a live version of Dweebcast on stage with everyone in the crowd. So everyone's going to get to be a part of the video.
All
right. Right on. That's
pretty cool.
And Dweebcast is like, it's like this TV show online for this independent online network, but like Larry King has his own show on this channel. And they have a very big following, but realistically, if you want to know what I'm talking about, just go to our website, click on the ticket link, and watch the video that starts playing.
All right, so why don't you give that people the URL so as they listen?
Basically, you can go to clubcosplay.info, or you can go direct to our ticket link, which is purplepass.com/clubcosplay.
Okay, all right. So we're going to watch the video after this interview, and then in the later part of the show, we're going to talk about how cool the video
is. You start watching it now. Pull it up. Start watching it. Know what the fuck I'm talking about.
All right.
I don't sound like this big idiot.
No. But, all right. So, Mike, do you have another question on here?
No.
Okay, I do. So, well, first of all, before we get too carried away, let's remind people, what is the date of night two?
August 16th.
Mark your calendars, people.
Saturday, August 16th.
All right. Now, so you mentioned, you mentioned Songhammer is going to be like a constant thing, which was kind of, will there be, are you guys trying to have, I know you had Jedi Elvis at the first one, are you looking to have, like, other music besides Songhammer and the DJs present at each event?
We currently have in the plans to bring in, like, special performers that are specifically related to the scene, because obviously Jedi Elvis and Songhammer fit directly into the cosplay nerd scene, you know, because Songhammer, they're a cosplay band that sings about World of Warcraft, you know, and happened to be the 2013 and 2011 winners of BlizzCon, and I think they played in front of a million people, with like 40,000 live and 880,000 online.
That's crazy.
Something like that for 2 years. And so they did that. And so that relates to what our club is. You know, we need to have entertainment that's unique, that you can't get anywhere else, that is directly kind of a part of the scene. So we are thinking about having unique performers and entertainment, even though there's a very limited market and there's not a lot of them out there. But we definitely are going to be bringing in a lot of these type of talents.
Cool. No, because one thing that came to my mind is I would love to, like, see bands kind of like Songhammer, but also, like, the Phenomenon, even, like, the Aquabats do something there, which would be really cool.
I'm honestly thinking that Weird Al.
Weird Al would be epic.
Like, I can get my hands on the Guanabats. I've been doing punk shows forever. I've done the Addicts, you know, Real Big Fish. you know, Misfits. I've done all these type of shows, so that's real easy for me to get a hold of. But I'm not looking to bring in mainstream yet, because that is definitely a kind of more of a mainstream market that where it might not be a part of our culture.
Yeah.
Where, like, Weird Al is directly, like, boom. You know, we're not going to get a bunch of douchebags rolling up. You know, yeah. At Weird Al plays.
This is true.
Yeah, speaking of Weird Al, I was at that signing yesterday at Amoeba, but I didn't get a ticket, so I just had to look at Weird Al from afar and be sad.
You know what's funny about Weird Al? I actually ran into him over by the old Knitting Factory in L.A. off of Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, that place has been closed for a while. Like,
oh, yeah, it's been closed for a while. I mean, I was 16, so this was 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I'm rolling through there about to go to a show, and we're walking out of the parking structure. Or, no, we're walking back into a parking structure from going out of a show. And then fuck Weird Al with this smoking hot model chick on his arm are, like, walking upstairs to the movie theater. I, like, literally stop right in front of him. I go, holy shit, it's Weird Al. Like, totally make a fool out of myself, lose my shit. You know, total star fandom guy. And he just goes, hello, and walks right by me. I, like, fucking wig out. I, like, chase down people on the street. I'm like, do you have a pen? Do you have a piece of paper? And I got this, like, receipt someone gave me, some half-assed pen that I stole off some bum on the street. And I, like, ran back up to him while he's trying to buy a ticket in line. I'm like, dude, can you please sign this for me? Blah, 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 blah. And he fucking signed it. You know, he's fucking super cool. And off I'll go, went on my way.
Wow.
This is the one and only time I got starstruck.
I don't blame you. Just looking at Weird Al from, like, 60 feet away behind caution tape, I was breathing a little hard. I was like, whew, there he is. No, and he, you know, it was really cool because, like, people came out in full force to that. But we won't get too distracted with Weird Al. I mean, we love Weird Al, but this is the club cosplay interview.
Well, when that happens, you'll know.
Oh, we will definitely know because we will be there. We're going to be there August 16th at, what is it, M15 in Corona, California.
Absolutely.
It's almost like a commercial. It's like, when is that date again? August 16th.
You have to do the
cosplay Saturday, August 16th, Corona, M15. Don't miss out.
One day only.
Hopefully not one day only.
Oh, also, tell all your followers, if they keep a close eye on our Instagram and Facebook, so we do a lot of one-day specials on tickets with extreme price cuts.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. All right. No, we will definitely be posting on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest, Zanga, LiveJournal.
GeoCities.
GeoCities is done.
GeoCities, does that exist anymore?
No, it doesn't exist. They're like done. Yahoo's like, yeah, we're not paying money for this.
I think my first web page that posted pictures of Jennifer Love Hewitt on when I was 13 was GeoCities.
I think I might have done the same thing, but for me it wasn't Jennifer Love Hewitt, it was Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, nice.
I've always been a fan of Miss Tilly. Oh, wow. Now we've deviated from the original subject. All right, so let's wrap this up really quickly. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want people to know about Club Cosplay before we head out into a musical break?
Yeah, don't miss it. Jump on your tickets now while they're cheap. Next week, the comic book shops will be the only people with $15 tickets, so go down and support your local comic book shop. We got comic book shops from San Diego to L.A. to Moreno Valley, all over them on Empire, Orange County, L.A., and San Diego. So they can find those links on our website, clubcosplay.info, and go down and support your local comic book shops, man, because they get a portion of every ticket sold through those locations.
Oh, cool. That's nice. I like that. All right, well, I think we've had a fun time here with you, Mr. Ivan Promotions. We're gonna go into a musical break, and we want to thank you for being on the show.
Rock and roll, thank you for having me, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
neck ago. I wonder if my mama's summer sitting around at home. I'll come from the kitchen day and boy, you boy, why is my will alone? I'm getting with all roots of lime. It would have been funny if I hadn't got caught, but I didn't. There you go. Well, why would do I do these things? Well, fill them up. I know. Soap in the water, not your fault. At least not yours alone. I'm here with all the two lines in. Oh, God, if I could just get out of this side. Let go, push for my luck out the window.
You just heard an interview with Ivan, and that was also a musical break following that. Now we are back to the live conversation going on right now, yesterday.
Yeah, because this episode goes up the day after.
That's what I said. That's what I said, live yesterday.
Live yesterday, okay. So yeah, we just got done watching the pay-per-view for this month for WWE Battlegrounds.
Yes, and it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it was so... Okay, so... My greatest joy, my joy I get out of watching wrestling is not because I particularly enjoy the storylines or the characters, or I absolutely love watching them fuck up.
Yes.
That, and like 9 times out of 10, if I'm like jumping up and clapping or being like, oh my God, it's because like Roman Reigns tells the camera guy to get the hell out of the way so he can charge at the other guy standing by the announcer table.
For you, it's either fucking up or it's doing something you totally saw coming.
Exactly. Like when like they do that like really tight camera shot of like the guy pinning the other guy, and then it's like, oh my God, this other guy comes running out. It's like, you know, like a stadium full of people just saw that coming.
Yeah. Like you as the viewer on TV don't see it. Like you're just like, they're doing they're doing the zoom. Someone's gonna break it. But if you're in the ring, you see the wrestler getting ready to run.
Yeah, and especially when like they did that ring around the Rosie bit, because they did like the what was it called, the Fatal Four Way.
Yeah,
where they had they would do like this ring around the Rosie tight shot thing, where like one guy would pin the other guy, and then someone would come in and break it up, and then he would pin this guy, and then someone else would come in and break that up, and then the fourth guy would come in and break up that one, and it was like. Really?
The most notorious match of the night for doing that was the one for the Intercontinental title with The Miz. I was like, Dolph won! Oh wait, the bell didn't ring. Here comes The Miz!
And I called it. Because you were like, oh man, Dolph is going to win. I really hope that Dolph wins. Like, if Bo didn't win, I want Dolph to win. And I was like, dude, The Miz is still over there on the ground. Like, he went under the rope. And you were like, did he? No, I think he got out. And then as soon as like Dolph was like, yeah, I won, like he just comes over and pushes him out. And I was like, see? Told you.
Yeah. Fucking Miz. Like, my three were Bo, Cesaro, and Dolph. And Dolph was pretty much second, you know, like, they made it pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Cesaro was just dealing with Kofi, and I was just...
That whole dance of them, like, throwing one over the ring, over the rope, and then, like, him, like, dangling on, and then, like, him coming back, and then, like, Big E coming out of nowhere and holding him like they were playing chicken in a pool.
He's like, I got you, Kofi. Yeah. We're friends that have never really wrestled together, but because the WWE writers assume that all black people must know each other,
we have to be friends in this match.
Yes.
That was so ridiculous.
You know.
Yeah, we talked earlier about the Divas match.
That was really good.
Okay, but my favorite part of the night, I think my favorite part of the night is what's his face? The new heel guy.
Bray Wyatt?
No, the new guy that's like was part of the Shields.
Oh, Rollins.
Yeah, Rollins. Like, he keeps getting his ass kicked by Ambrose, like, at every, like, he'll be doing a plug, or, you know, he'll be backstage talking crap, and the next thing you know, it's just like Ambrose comes out of, like, the rafters and starts beating the shit out of him.
The fan man!
Yeah, and then, like, he's out on stage, and, like, after he gets kicked out of the building, supposedly, he's out on stage, like, you know, talking all this shit, like, I want them to raise my hand and, you know, crown me the winner.
Because I'm a douche.
Yeah, and then, like, out of nowhere, like, he comes out from under the stage and starts beating the shit out of him.
No, but the best part is during the pre-ring, like, the pre-match interview, he comes out, and, like, not even 4 seconds into the beatdown, there's refs.
Yeah, like, oh, they were just on their lunch break, like, hanging out.
All right next to the interview.
Yeah, just like, oh, they're cutting an interview over there. Whatever, Steve, hand me my sandwich.
Oh, no, there's Ambrose. We should break this up.
Yeah, we really should. I'm on my lunch break. Forget it.
You're gonna hear about this from Triple H, Steve. Let him. I feel no man.
But my favorite part, my absolute favorite, is when, like, that totally staged bit at the end where he's walking out with his little, like,
his little rolling backpack.
His little wussy-ass rolling backpack out into the parking lot. And he's like, guys, seriously, I don't need security. It's fine. Like, they do this big wide shot of him with the car in the background. And he's just, like, suddenly, like... Like the main chick character in a horror movie, where he's just like looking around, all like scared all of a sudden. Like, and you expect like the cello, like the horn music to like, and he's like, and I was like, I fucking bet you anything that Ambrose is in the trunk of that car.
And then I was like, just watch him with the tire iron.
And we shit you not, guys, Ambrose gets out of the trunk of the car with a tire iron and attacks him, and I lost my shit.
I was like, come on, guys. Don't make it that predictable. He could have been in the bus.
So I reassert our claims from the last two episodes of the Mimo Cast. Vince, Triple H, if you're listening right now, the Mimo Cast, Mike and Mondo, we can come. We can write for you.
Yes.
We can earn back all that money you lost.
We can bring back the stock.
We really can.
And
if so,
now we'll just buy it and hire ourselves as writers when we have a controlling majority.
So, Vince McMahon, Triple H, if you like the sultry sounds of our voices, you'll love the way that we write. Hire us, Mike and Mondo, from the Mimo Cast.
For only $9.99 a month.
$9.99 a month.
What a great deal.
What a great... Wait, are we... No, you know what? No, that's not... We're going into negotiations.
We are not $9.99 a month.
I need more than $9.99 a month.
Especially if you're gonna have fucking fireworks and suits and
giant flags.
Those are some pretty big flags.
They really were. That match was...
He's a real American.
Really? Because I've never heard of him. And I think of myself as an American.
You know what? He's no G.I. Joe, but he's something.
I mean, he doesn't even, like, the only, his only, we're talking about Jack Swagger, by the way, yeah. For those of you who don't know, who's like, his whole shtick is that he's like a real American, and he like, he comes out and holds his hand over his heart and goes, we the people! And he's in a feud right now with the Russian wrestler, what's his
Rusev.
Name? Yeah, Rusev.
Which probably is Russian for Russia.
Yeah, so, like, they're in a feud right now, and like, Rusev and his, like...
Rusev Machka and Lana.
Yeah, Lana, the...
The babe.
The babe Russian chick. They come out and, you know, taunt the crowd and say anti-American things.
The best part is Rusev isn't even Russian, he's Bulgarian. But he relocated to Russia and all of a sudden just adopted all of their customs because assimilation.
Yeah, because. So, I mean, by that token, he should be a real American as well.
Yeah, he's the Bulgarian brute. Russia.
Yeah, the entire match was just so ridiculous. Yeah. And, I mean, I feel if Jack Swagger is going to be the real American, he should, you know, come out wearing at least, like, an American flag.
Hey, he had the flag with him, and he had the red track jacket. He has those blue eyes and the white skin. He was repping.
hold on, let me give you some more thread so you can stitch that together. Okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm gonna lose my shit some more if we keep talking about this. We're gonna move on to the next topic, which is Mondo is gonna be at San Diego Comic-Con Left.
Yes. San Diego Comic-Con Left. I'll be at the convention center and hopefully bamboozle my way in, but if that doesn't work out, I will be at some of the peripheral events going on. And I have confirmation that I will be at the Say Anything Front Bottom show, the Suicide Girls Burlesque show, the MC Lars show, I'll hear back from this Monday, but it looks like it was, yes, the Aquabat show. And ideally, I will also be at the Heroes Brew Fest, and I will potentially be checking out the Nerdist Laser Tag, sponsored by Borderlands, because we have to mention the sponsors, as well as the Assassin's Creed Unity, parkour demonstration track, yeah. Thing. And who knows? I'll eat a sandwich somewhere.
Yeah.
That counts as part of the con. Conwich.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in hanging out with one half of the Mimo cast and one of the editors for Racket Magazine, and you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, go ahead and see what Mondo's up to. Follow his Instagram, follow his Twitter. It's at Wacky Mondo on both of those counts.
And you'll get hundreds and hundreds of characters of value.
Of value.
For
$3.99 a month. We're never going to let that die.
No. At least not for the rest of this episode.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it should be fun. There, I have one or two leads that I will find out about tomorrow that mm-hmm. will ideally get me in there. But we will just have to wait on that.
All right.
But I would like to get in, and just walk around the floors. And if anything, I'll just hang out in front of the convention center taking pictures of a bunch of cosplayers. Because they tend to use that front area as like a nice little hey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also hit up the Hilton and get drunk.
Okay, yeah, sounds like
same thing.
You're gonna drunkenly, Snapchat me some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be like, look, I'm with Star Lord, and here's the other Star Lord,
and here's Lady Star Lord,
and then here's Dave Bautista as himself because he said,
oh, Bautista.
Bautista.
We've been really like WWE heavy lately.
There's been a lot going on.
There really has been.
So like we didn't bring it up for like a whole like 2.5 months of this show being in existence. It just so happens there was a pay-per-view tonight, and then the whole CM Punk stuff, and then Dave,
mm-hmm.
Promoting for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, oh, okay, cool. What else is on the list?
So the next topic is that if you guys haven't seen them, they posted a few pics from on the set of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron.
So they've got pictures of Ultron, and they've also got pictures of Rhodes, played by Don Cheadle. Partying up with the rest of the Avengers at some point during the movie. So
the beginning, actually.
The beginning.
Yeah, so it's like okay. After a big, like, hurrah fight. They just took down Baron Von Strucker or whatever.
Oh, okay. All right, so yeah, we've got that going, and what was the website you saw those on?
It's on Entertainment Weekly. It's a couple websites, so if you just Google, you'll find it, like, everywhere. It's, like, it's pretty much everyone has to cover it.
Yeah, so go ahead and check those, and then the next topic
is... before we jump, though, I feel like we should kind of discuss what that means, seeing Rhodes in there.
Well, it just means, like they even said, it's just going to be an expanded cast. It's going to be completely nuts. And you said that someone dies, right?
Someone's supposed to die.
Someone's supposed to die.
More than that, he's also officially the first, African-American Avenger in the cinematic universe. I mean, because I don't really count Nick Fury. He's not an Avenger. I mean, he's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's a big pivotal role in that whole, story in that universe, but he's not an Avenger.
Yeah.
So this is like, here's your first one. So here's the inklings towards creating a more diverse cast, which is, what comic movies in general need, because I feel like the last time we had a big, major African-American star was probably Blade.
Yeah. They suckled that teat dry.
Well, Wesley Snipes was being a goon on the third one, and it fell through. But, ideally, if Robert Downey Jr. making his exit soon, we could see Rhodes take over that franchise. Because mm-hmm. I feel like Don Cheadle is an actor of great chops, and he's likable enough to where he could make it work.
And he's really underutilized as well, as so hopefully, and maybe they'll add the Falcon in there.
Yeah, I feel like they would be smart to add the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, obviously Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver will jump in. So you were going to see a huge shakeup in the cast.
I mean, this is going to be a big movie.
Big movie.
Yeah, as far as how many main characters are within one, you know, hour and a half long.
It's going to be, like, closer to three.
Damn.
Dude, you're not going to see a comic movie under 2 hours anymore.
That's true. And then we got to go through all, like, the after-credit scenes that last, you know, 25 minutes. And
the credits last 25 minutes. The scene lasts 25 seconds. Let's be real here.
This is true.
It's like, oh, we don't care who the post grip is.
We just want to see Nick Fury doing shit.
Yes. And so, well, what is the next topic?
Right there, DashCon.
Oh, yeah, DashCon, the Tumblr-inspired convention that was a hot mess.
Yeah, what did they it still is, it still, like, they don't know if it was a scam or not?
Yeah.
Like, so basically what happened is a group of, I don't even know what their credentials are.
Yeah, who cares? The cons.
Yeah. So basically a group of people got together and said, hey, we're going to make a convention dedicated to Tumblr and Tumblr users. And it was an absolute disaster. They didn't make enough money or something, and they needed like $7,000 by the end of the first night. That was the
story. They needed $17,000 or $7,000. They just needed a bunch of money,
yeah,
in order to keep the hotel going.
Mm-hmm.
Despite like having raised all this Kickstarter money and
yeah, which is unheard of, because if a hotel's hosting a convention, they're going to have asked for everything up front.
Yeah.
Anyways. So I mean, everything was so sketchy, and they had some of their big name guests pull out. People like, I think like
Night Vale just bailed because they found out they weren't gonna get paid, and they said, fuck it.
We're done. So
there was even someone else who pulled out because she went into her hotel, found out it wasn't gonna be confidence. You know, I'm not even gonna stay.
Bye. Exactly, yeah. And so there's conflicting reports. Some people say it was a huge scam that just took all these poor Tumblr users' money, and other people are saying it was just a case of
idiocy.
Yeah, incompetency. That people, they bit off more than they can chew, and they didn't know what they were doing.
Either way, it's still unfortunate.
It really is.
You know what the worst part is? Is like for everyone who bought, because Night Vale was a ticketed event, so you had to pay. It wasn't just part of the con. You had to pay and have a badge.
Yeah.
And the worst part was their, you know, like their consolidation. Like, oh, hey, here's your consolation prizes. You get a free hour at the ball pit.
Yeah, that was all these pictures of like a bunch of like sad looking people sitting around in like a kiddie pool, an inflated kiddie pool filled with ball pit balls. And it was just like that was DashCon.
I was like, that's what, like, you, someone paid probably $20 to $40 for, like, a Night Vale ticket, and that's, you're like, oh, sorry, it's canceled, go play in the fucking ball pit.
Yeah, and tickets were, like, what, like, $80 or something like that?
For the whole weekend, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. At a first-time con, at such a small event, they want you to pay that much money?
That's more than SDCC. That's more than NYC. That's more than all the major cons.
And that's ridiculous.
And they offer way more, so it's like, I don't get it.
This reeks of scam.
I say it's the DashCon con. I don't think it was idiocy. I think they're playing that card up, but they knew what they were doing money-wise. Yeah. They want, because there's not going to be another DashCon. There's no fucking way.
No. I mean, no, they're already on sale.
What?
Year two tickets.
People are dumb. In fact, the people who go to DashCon are dumber than wrestling fans. And I'm including myself here.
As our favorite dum-dum.
Yes. I'm so dumb, I spell dumb without a B.
So dumb.
So dumb.
And you can get more of this dumbness for only $3.99 a month.
If you sign up to the Mimo Network.
What a value.
What a value. With tons of pay-per-views and MXT.
MXT. Where you can see other great up-and-coming podcasters.
Other up-and-coming Mondos. This is Mondo Casillas. He's from San Diego. He's like 17. He's got potential. Check him out. I'm not even sure if we can go anywhere from this. All right, so we will see you next week when our free trial is up, and you'll have to pony up with your credit cards.
Yeah, for $3.99 a month. Bye, guys. It's time to say goodbye.